The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 893. It's the 10th of October 2017. On the podcast today, I have David Bramhill, Executive Chairman of Union Jack Oil, and David discusses their acquisition of the entire onshore hydrocarbon portfolio interest of Nautical Petroleum. Also on the podcast, Andrew Coombs, CEO of Sirius Real Estate, that's SRE ticker, and Andrew talks through their trading update and discusses their outlook. Plus, I have full-time private investor, Wheelie Dealer, talks strategy and stocks and covers today utility-wise, Bovis Homes, Inland Homes. We also discuss Energizer Investments, Nahl Group, Domino's Pizza, Robert Walters, and Impresaria Group. Plus, I also have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is David Bramhill, Executive Chairman of Union Jack Oil. That's UJO ticker. David, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for asking me. Good morning, everybody.
Now, people, I mean, I'm sure there are people out there listening who are very aware of what you do. There are some people who are new to the podcast or, you know, have not heard of you, David. Can you explain then what you're all about at Union Jack Oil, please?
Yeah, I'd be delighted to. Union Jack was formed a few years ago with a business model to take percentages in late-stage exploration plays where drilling is going to happen in the near future, developments where we actually effectively take part in a discovery and develop it, and or anything with upside potential, with an end view to production, which has worked so far for us quite nicely, thank you. This is what we do, and the beauty of this type of business model is it takes the risk away. You're never going to have a North Sea find. However, you're going to have something which can give you potentially a profit at the end of the day, and that's what we're aiming for. Takes time. Are we winning? Yes, I think so.
Excellent stuff. So it's essentially, you are, like I said, you said late stage investments in the oil sector there, and you try and stick away from the riskier side, which is the exploration side. Is that right?
But we do some exploration, but we don't come in from day one on a brand new license and work that license through, which takes years to get to an actually drilling stage. We like to see a little bit, some daylight between drilling. However, it's not years and years and years and years. So from basically from zero, from 1 year to 5 years, which is what it sometimes takes. So we like to be at the latter part of this when a lot of the risk has been taken out of it. There's always risk. Always risk, but at least you can own that risk down to the best bet you can get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's look at the deal you announced, which is quite interesting here. An acquisition of Nautical Petroleum's UK onshore hydrocarbon license portfolio. So take us through the details of this, David, and why.
Well, that was like, we've known Nautical. We've been partners with Nautical for years in Keddington. Mm-hmm. And effectively, they've moved on to bigger things, as everyone's probably aware. Ken Energy took them over several years ago, and their onshore portfolios become really superfluous to these guys. So they're looking to sell it. It's a very, very good price. We've taken on financial liabilities, of which these are very, very small going forward. Keddington, we've added 10% to Keddington, which now the oil price has gone up to $50+, puts us in the black, which is really good. So 20% of the producing oil field. And I hasten to add, we believe there's a lot of upside left in Keddington. We think it's just the start of something. It's on trend with a lot of oil wells. One of the biggest ones in the UK, Saltfleet B gas field. We like Keddington. It's one of our favourites. And also part of that is the Louth prospect, mm-hmm. with 5.6 mean barrels perspective on there. So these are two that we know, we're familiar with, and they're part of the family, effectively part of a portfolio already. Mm-hmm. But there's also the Duke's Wood and also Kirtington. They were Welsh drills. Now, Duke's Wood was found just before the war. It was part of the World War effort. I will say, if anyone interested in history, there's a smashing book out. I didn't write it. It's called The Secret of Sherwood Forest. And it's oil production onshore England during World War II. Brilliant book, worth getting. And we effectively have taken, we've got 16.67% of that well. It's been drilled and drilled. We still believe there's oil in there. And see what the future brings. We've got some ideas, or egged in the operative, going forward on the future. So anything that happens there, we'll be part of. And the same applies with Kirtington. So we've got two really, really well-known interests going into the portfolio, including production, and also two unknowns, which could be anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We feel we've got terrific value for 25,000. That's a nice deal for us. And we're still looking. I know some shareholders have been saying, "Well, hang on a minute. We thought you've got some more money there." Yes, we have. And we're looking, we're talking. We've got another deal, as we've indicated in our interim report recently. We're always looking. There's always a deal on the table for us, as long as production. And if Graham Bull, our technical man, thinks it's good, then it's good enough for us. But we do have money left. We do have effectively money left for probably one more acquisition.
Yeah. So how much is this costing you, this deal then, David?
Well, the one we've just done?
Yeah.
Oh, this deal was 25,000, but the ones we're looking at, as I say, we've still got money in the kitty that we raised back in early this year, and that money will be raised. As I mentioned, we're always looking. That's our strategy. We're not going to... if there's a decent deal to be done, we'll do it.
Excellent stuff. And as far as people listening right now are concerned, what's the next sort of bit of news you're looking to sort of release over the next couple of months?
The news, right? Hopefully an uplift in production.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we can get another acquisition under the belt. But the main, we've got the appeal going on for the planning permission on Wrestle, which is obviously... if that happens, then amazing. That starts, it's scheduled to start in November. Obviously can't discuss it very much, it's legal, but that's the main thrust. We've got a show in London called One to One, which is an oil company called, they're based in Hong Kong, they're called One to One. They're up in Fenchurch Street, worth a look. We'll be exhibiting there on the 30th and 31st of October. Our broker, SB Angel, are looking after that on our behalf, doing a great job. Mm-hmm. So we'll be doing, we're doing everything we can to enhance the profile of the company. It takes time. The oil price hasn't helped. It's getting better now. And being onshore, at least we negate some of the terrible effects that's happened in the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in terrific shape. We've still got... a lot of money left in the kitty to drill the wells. We'll be announcing Homewood very soon, I'm sure. We've got the Biscafort well to be drilled very soon. So lots going for us, loads of news flow.
Yeah. Okay, excellent stuff. Well, David, if anyone's listening right now and they're not yet following you on Vox Markets, but like the sound of the progress you're making, give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please.
Well, they never change, because we've spoken quite a few times, but there's always activity and news flow.
Mm-hmm.
We've still a heck of a lot of potential within the company to be unlocked. And I think most importantly is the transparency. We always do as we say we will. I think that's important in these modern markets.
Absolutely, yes. David, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Look forward to it. Thank you, Justin. All the best.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Andrew Coombs, CEO of Sirius Real Estate. That's SRE ticker. Andrew, thanks for joining me.
Hello, Justin.
Now, you've had a bit of news out, some good positive news of late, and we'll get into that in a bit. But before we do, Andrew, can you give a brief summary explaining what Sirius Real Estate is all about, please?
Yes, certainly. Sirius is a public company operating 50 business parks in Germany. We specialise in buying, refurbishing and managing German business parks across the whole of Germany.
Excellent stuff. Now, you've just announced, like I said, a positive trading update for the first 6 months of this financial year. And it's clear you've been busy buying new assets. Can you tell us what is interesting about these additions and what you hope to do with them, please, Andrew?
Yes, absolutely. So Sirius will now have over 50 business parks consisting of over 400 commercial buildings, which cater for over 4,000 tenants. Today, we have announced the completion of the purchase of a new building in Frankfurt, together with the notarization of two new assets in Hamburg and a further asset in Krefeld. Hamburg is a new market for Sirius, and we're delighted to have secured our first two sites in this new Hamburg market.
Excellent stuff. And also, you, in your statement there, you talk about the strength of the German economy. I mean, do you believe that this is sustainable? And what do you think this means for your business there, Andrew?
You're absolutely right. German industrial output is really helping to boost the German economy. August output was particularly strong. Demand for German manufacturing is growing, both domestically and internationally. And this bodes really well for Sirius, with the majority of our lettable space being within our business parks and catering for tenants operating within the manufacturing sector.
Okay, so obviously you're very positive about that. So, Andrew, if someone's listening right now to you and they like the sound of this, but not yet following you on Vox Markets, could you give them sort of three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please? And if they do so, by the way, they will get anything you send out, any notification to the front screen of their smartphones. So could you give them three reasons why they should hit that button, please, Andrew?
Reason number one, strong capital growth coming from the 40% return on investment we get from our organic growth program. Reason number two, good distribution in terms of income. Over 4% dividend per share, despite us only distributing 65% of our earnings. So a particularly well-covered dividend. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, the fact that we can recycle property. We buy at an 8% net yield and we sell at a 6% net yield. What that means is that we can sell and recycle our capital at much better prices than we're buying it for. So the three reasons are good capital growth, a particularly well-covered dividend, and the ability to recycle capital at a much better price than when we acquire sites at.
Excellent. Well, Andrew, it seems like you're always busy on the lookout for additions to the portfolio, so hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much. Good to speak to you.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is full-time private investor, Wheelie Dealer. You all right, fella?
Yeah, good, Justin. How are you?
Good, thanks. I've got to point out as well, you do write fastidiously about all your trades and investments, pretty much. I mean, mostly investments, I've got to say. You're not a trader. You're not a dirty trader.
Really.
You're an open, honest investor. Which is
I was saying that I put a short on the S&P 500 last night, and I've just closed out a fairly short term trade on AstraZeneca. So okay. I will do a little bit of short term stuff if I can see an opportunity there.
Yeah, yeah. And what's your successes on those? Because I find my punts they're okay. They never turn out as good as I expect them to. You know.
Yeah, I mean, with things like the AstraZeneca one, I own the shares anyway, and I intend to hold the shares probably, you know, for a blooming long time. And I just saw, you know, if you remember, they had that failure of the Mystic trial, and the shares really dropped, didn't they?
Like 15% I should have got, that was one thing I should have got involved in there. I should have jumped in there.
And I just thought, this is definitely looking, you know, like unnecessary. And then they started coming out with good results. Sorry, more good news on other products. products. And I just thought this gap, there was like a gap on the chart. I thought this gap is going to close. So I just had a dabble on those with a spread bet on a long position. And it's done pretty well. It was up like sort of 12% on the exposure. Yeah. Of course, it's leveraged, you know, and there's no margin on something like that. So it's worked out really well.
Do you know what?
I'll do them in a sort of like, you know, opportunistic kind of way on shares I already hold.
Well, do you know what? Yesterday, I mean, I took the opportunity to invest in, I know it's one of you hold, Utility Wise, a couple of weeks back, and yeah. They had a big sell-off because they're changing accounting. They've been a bit too aggressive in their accounting, and so they've had to change that. They've made board changes. And as a result, I mean, look at the share price. It's gone from, what, a couple of quid a few years ago down to like...
absolutely terrible, yeah. It's just been a never-ending string of problems. I think it's pretty obvious the previous management just didn't have a grip at all. Mm-hmm. And as you say, the accounting was completely aggressive, you know, booking revenue too early and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I still think it's a good business. And the thing is that we'll know next Tuesday. They've got results.
A week today, that's right. Well, do you know what? Yeah. I was looking at their last trading update. Now, this is on the 24th of August, right? And you've got to understand that 24th of August is pretty much a month after the results for the year. The year ends the 31st of July. So they sort of know what the figures are, you'd think, wouldn't you? And so they said the board expects group revenue to be 3% higher than the prior year. So I looked at the prior year, it's £84.4 million. So a 3% increase would be £86.9 million. And they said an adjusted profit before tax would be circa 40% lower than last year. So I looked at that. Profit before tax last year was £18.4 million. So a 40% reduction would be 7.36. Now, if you look at where they are at the moment, market cap 40 million, they're on a PE of 5, and I'm thinking,
it's ridiculous. I mean, it's not quite a big debt amount. I think it got something like 22 million or something debt.
I think it's down to 19 million.
But that is expected to start coming down pretty quickly over the next couple of years. So I think that problem can soon be moved out of the way. And when you think of what they actually do, supplying, you know, electricity, gas, now water, you know, it's a pretty stable, reliable kind of business. I mean, I think what it is the previous management were just basically headless chickens. And now we've got some proper management in, you know, because they've completely changed the CEO, CFO, totally changed. Mm-hmm. And I think they're getting a grip on the business. And as you say, you look at the broker forecasts and stuff, it's on like a PE of 5 or 6. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I think the key is we need some good news. It's just been a never ending succession of bad news, and that's bound to upset people and shake people out of the shares. So I think if, you know, good news next Tuesday, I think you'll see them jump.
It's such a relief,
you know. I
bought some yesterday. I invest in, I scale in. Whenever I do an investment, I scale in. And normally on smaller stocks, are quite volatile. I'll put limit orders in about 10% below each other, about 3 of them. And so I won't put my big chunk in and leave it there because, you know, I expect the share price to weaken a little bit, especially
it's
when it's
around, isn't it? It's going to move around.
So I got Phil yesterday and last week. So 3 chunks of investing here now. And I think, I look at the chart. And I don't know if it will before next week, but I mean, it did get down on that initial low. It got down to about 34 pence. And I think, will it retest that? Do you think? Yeah. I don't know if it will retest that.
It doesn't look like it's going to, because, I mean, let's be honest, it had the chance yesterday, didn't it?
Yeah.
And I think this morning when I looked just now, it was down a little bit, but it's still quite a way off that low. Interestingly, there was no volume yesterday. You know, so I think it's just, you know, it's just lack of volume, lack of liquidity. Things move big when there's a lack of liquidity, and I just think it's something like that. We don't really know till Tuesday, do we? And I think that's where the focus is, you know.
Well, exactly. The last update, I mean, like I said, you know, that was the 24th of August. Now, that was after the figures they know they're reporting on. So, I mean, I can't see a lot changing. And like you said, the volume wasn't huge. I just see some people starting to panic before results come out and do a quick sell.
But
it's on the chart list. It's oversold again. RSI is oversold. Sold, and you can expect there's a little bit of a bounce and things like that happen, you know. And if they have good news, then we're in a good position to bounce majorly here.
I think so, you know, because I think it'd be such a change of sentiment in the market. So yeah, it's definitely a good one to watch.
What else are you looking at? What else is one to watch?
Well, you're talking before we got on the call, house builders, I think, could be quite interesting.
Yeah.
Because there's this really well-known trend that in the first quarter of each calendar year, so January to March, house builders tend to do well. No one really knows why. You know, something to do with spring selling season or something.
Yeah.
But it's a really established trend. It's like 20 years out of the last 24 have seen house builders rise. So it's a pretty solid trend, you know. And I think a lot of them look really beat up now. I was looking at Bovis the other day, BVS.
Yeah.
That's the one that had problems, if you remember. But they got Glenn Fitzgerald in, Greg Fitzgerald, who was the CEO at Galliford Try. Yeah. And he did really good work there. They've got him in, and he seems to be getting a grip of it. And the bit that's really interesting is they're talking about loads of special dividends over the next 3 years. And I think the total dividend... and it amounts to something like 9% yield.
Okay.
So it's like massive.
Yeah,
9% per annum. So it's like huge. So
that
one is really interesting. And I think as well, there's a bit of a recovery play there as, you know, as Bovis sorts its problems out and gets a grip sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because I think they were building some pretty shoddy houses or something, weren't they?
yeah,
nothing to worry about, is it? You know. But, but I think that one looks interesting. The other one I thought looked really interesting, one I looked at yesterday, was Inland, INL.
Yeah.
And that's interesting because that's on something like a 41% discount to the forecast NAV. So the forecast NAV is on like 107 pence at the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're down around, I don't know, 65 or something. But also, the CEO or the chairman, Stephen Wicks, mm-hmm. I can't remember what he is, he bought 50,000 shares at 63p yesterday or day before or something.
Okay, yeah. Do you know what? I'm invested in a small company. There's an offshoot, and Stephen Wicks is also on the board of that company. And it's called Energizer Investments. Energizer Investments is called. And Dominic White is the CEO, and he's got a good track record. But the two top guys at Inland Homes are on the board of this as well. And it's almost like a spin-off. I'm expecting news from them very soon on micro storage, you know, units, which is... They also, hopefully, they announced in the interims that they're selling off a legacy investment, which is a housing development, which will bring more cash in. But they're literally a tiddler. It's like a $2 million market cap. But I mean, worth looking at because it's called Energizer Investment, ENGI.
Okay.
Worth looking at because it's a board of that you'd expect to be on a board of a bigger company, and they are. But they've got this little play here, and they've hooked up with a guy who's quite a big player in the micro storage industry recently. So I think news literally is you know a couple of weeks away, but worth looking at. And I know you don't normally delve into this to smaller market cap, but I mean they're worth looking at because the board have got a good track record, and they've got they own a lot of stock, you know. So
that sounds like all that sort of Tesla home, you know, the home storage, energy storage kind of thing, doesn't it? And whatever.
So micro storage is it rather than these big out of town places for bigger cities, they're more like it's almost like in your neighborhood, so you can store stuff but not have to drive out of town. So, and apparently,
so it's not like the energy one, like
it's apparently it's a big market in the US. It's not, and the guy who's they've brought this other guy on board who's a bit of a sort of champion in this field, he's done it in Europe as well, and it's not really been exploited. In the UK, so they reckon it could be a big market.
So it's more
in the UK.
Like a sort of big, Big Yellow and
Big Yellow, yes.
And all that, is it? I was a bit confused as to why a property guy would be doing energy, but there you go.
Yeah. But it's not.
That's interesting.
So where is these big towns? Those 120,000 square foot. These are about 40,000. And these are 40,000 square foot, but in town and walkable, and so people can get the storage stuff. So apparently they're big in America and quite big in Europe, and not so big in this country. But it only takes a couple of operators.
Maybe that ties up with home delivery and stuff as well. Do you know what I mean? You can collect your parcels there or something.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I never know. But worth looking at. Talk about Inland Homes. Apart from Inland Homes, anything else you're looking at, fella?
Another one that I spoke about in the blog at the weekend. I was looking at the charts and stuff. And I don't own it myself, but I know Mark Bentley, who's one of the directors of ShareSoc.
Mm-hmm.
He's at Marbon100 on Twitter. He said it's his third biggest holding, and that is NAH, which I think is like National Accident Helpline or something.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And it's something to do with insurance services and legal services, and, you know, it's probably a bit of cold calling or something. But that just looks really cheap. And it's got like a dividend of 8% or something, or 7%.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is, if you look at the chart, it's like been in a downtrend, you know.
Yeah.
but it looks like it's walking out of the downtrend, sort of like coming out of the downtrend. So that one looks quite interesting.
And you've just had the directors buy some exercise share options, actually. But I do like the chart. Yeah, it does seem like it's had a
put on a... It's like it's popping out, doesn't it?
Yeah, so, it's been maybe a long base
sideways for a bit, but it looks... The thing is, if it does go sideways for a while, you're still picking up 7-8% while you wait. And just looks really, you know, the numbers, it looks really cheap. You know, people need to look into the business and think about a business. I mean, is this, you know, what I want to be investing in? But it looks like, and Mark's no fool, you know, Mark Bentley, he's a pretty shrewd guy. And to have that as your third biggest holding is like, yeah, that sort of tells me quite a bit, really. So yeah, that's an interesting one. I thought the other one was interesting. It was Domino's Pizza today, DOM. I mean, it popped when I last looked. It was up like 9% or something.
13% now, nearly 14%.
Wow. But the interesting thing there is that, you know, it's always a share that's been sort of high flying and doing really well. And it got quite beat up in recent months or years, you know. It dropped off a lot. But then the trading update today is so bullish. And they're talking about expansion in Switzerland, in, what was it, Iceland, in Sweden. So there's a lot going. So it's not just a UK story anymore.
Yeah, well,
they've just done 1,000 stores in the UK, and they're going to open a record, another 90 in the UK. So it's obvious there's a lot of growth still coming here.
Well, do you know what? I was talking to Conor Campbell from Spreadex, who came on start of the week, or yesterday actually, and he was talking about companies releasing, and he covered Domino's, and we were saying, well, where else can they expand to? I mean, I know of two Domino's close to me, apart from expanding it into your spare bedroom or something. You know,
haven't you got one in your spare bedroom?
But it looks like now that they're going over abroad, which is obviously a good thing. But I mean, I also, how many pizzas can we eat a week? You know, you can only eat so many pizzas a week, but I suppose. Different countries, you know?
Well, that's it. I think that's it. They just haven't really got going. And it's something I noticed in the thing today. I think it was Iceland, they said. It's something like their highest average spend or something.
Really? Yeah,
people really go mad for it out there, yeah. It was maybe rent a lot of takeaways in Iceland, who knows?
Yeah.
But that's a weird one. Another one I thought was interesting was I read the results of Robert Walters today, RWA.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sort of overseas recruitment, you know, UK as well. But they're just really strong results, really good.
Yeah.
And it made me think that Empresaria, EMR, which is one that I own, that just seems to be really cheap. It's just lagging behind. And you know, and it's a lot smaller, obviously, than Robert Walters. Mm. But it's a very similar model with lots of overseas recruitment operations. And their results have been really good. So I really don't understand why the shares keep dropping on that one.
Yeah.
That could be worth a look.
Marvellous, fellow. Well, and generally, though, I mean, when you're looking at your portfolio, I mean, do you tend to scale out a little bit, you know, when you come to bigger risks? Like at the moment, it's been there for ever.
Yeah,
Brexit, for example.
To be honest, if anything, I'm just being a little bit cautious because, you know, the autumn, September and October is traditionally a tough time. We've got through September totally unscathed, so that's really good news. But October can be a little bit funny sometimes, but I mean generally October's got quite a good record. I think it's like the fifth best month. But it does have some pretty severe drops sometimes, so
yes,
it can be a bit choppy. So more than anything, I'm not really so much selling things as just not really buying much, you know. I'm just sort of, like I said, I put a little short on the S&P 500, but only a small one, and it's got a very tight stop loss, so if it, you know, if it doesn't happen, I'll just be stopped out pretty quick.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm not panicking. I mean, you know, stocks still strike me as the only place to be. You can't get any yield or any kind of return on anything else, you know, apart from property maybe.
That's it. It's the only game in town, isn't it? And
It seems that way. And the thing that amazes me, you know, we've just had a discussion now about 6 or 7 stocks, whatever, that actually look pretty good value.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, I don't even feel like it's okay. The index level, it looks a bit overvalued, particularly in the US and stuff. But when you actually start looking at individual stocks, I still think there's quite a lot of value out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we're struggling to find things. So, yeah, it's weird. It's a weird market, really.
Exactly.
But it's been weird for 10 years.
Yeah, it has been weird. I mean, it is a stock picker's market there, and but there we are. Just breaking news now: BAE Systems announced 2,000 job. BAE Systems announcing 2,000 job cuts in Britain, and UK factories pick up the pace. They keep their rate hike in view. So there we are. So two opposing views there. So one laying off and one looking good.
Yeah, well, they were talking about 1,000 job cuts yesterday, weren't they? That was a rumour. So 2,000 is obviously a bit more than that, like double.
Hey, and people who say maths isn't your strong point are liars. Right, listen. Thanks for that, fella. Speak soon.
No worries. Cheers, Jess.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Columbus Energy Resources, that's CERP. At four, Rehobold Resources, RBD. At three, Parkmead Group, PMG. At two, UK Oil and Gas, UKOG. And number one, most followed company after that massive rise yesterday. What was it? I think 300-odd%, I think. It's Jersey Oil and Gas, JOG. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, Zenith Energy, ZEN. New perforations increase production from well C21. At four, Great Western Mining Corporation, GWMO, M2 Technical Scoping Study, or Survey. At three, MySquare, MYSQ, MOU with Sealand Capital Galaxy Limited. At two, N4 Pharma, that's N4P, Sildenafil PCT Update. I apologise for my pronunciation of that drug there. And number one, most liked RNS, was from Strategic Minerals, SML. That's Q3 cobalt sales, US $2.036 million, sets new record. And of course, the share price has been buoyed by that. Hopefully we get the guys on very soon. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciatos.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.